My name is Jerome Maguire. I'm the chair of this. My day job is the CEO of Motor Accident Commission in South Australia. Just a couple of housekeeping matters. The presentation will go for about 30 minutes, and after that we'll have time for some questions. The title, as you know, is The Importance of Claims Management in Injury Scheme, and we have two presenters today. The first will be Natasha. Natasha Anning is a director in the Financial Services Group of EY and has over 14 years' experience in the UK and Australian insurance industries. Natasha worked in large general insurers for 7 years with a focus on personal injury schemes prior to moving into consulting. Natasha has advised companies, regulators and government agencies on strategic and business improvement initiatives. Natasha has delivered claims leakage and process studies for government schemes and insurers and has a clear appreciation of the importance of claims management to the underlying success of injury schemes. So, Natasha, over to you, and then we'll introduce Peter after your session. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we get the lucky slot when everyone's just had coffee, so that's a good start. So we're going to talk about the importance of claims management today. So hopefully this works.
Is that mic working?
Is it working? Yeah. I won't go through the agenda, but we'll just go through the objectives. We just wanted to share some insights from Peter and I around what we see in claims management across the industry and sort of highlight where there are some areas of opportunity for schemes and insurers. I'll use the word schemes here, and just it will refer to claims agents, insurers in the privately underwritten schemes and the schemes that are run by the government agencies. Not quite working. Okay. We just wanted to focus on the importance of claims management. It's been highlighted in the press recently, particularly around, you would have seen the AMP write down. That was focused on the claims management, which they've put out in the press. And claims management in general is really important to the financial viability of the schemes. Most schemes, insurers, claims agents are always looking at ways to improve their claims management. We have observed through Peter's long time in the insurance industry and my relatively short time compared to his, that there's variability in all the claims management practices across the industry in general and in life insurance. Claims management is sometimes the poor cousin in insurers. Doesn't always attract the focus that it needs. So why is it important to have good claims management? Basically, there's a better experience for claimants. There's the importance of improved health and quality outcomes for claimants. We also want to provide fair and reasonable benefits for claimants to which they're entitled. And overarching is the better financial outcomes for the schemes. There actually are a spectrum of scheme models, so this applies to all the models, whether it's privately underwritten, it's a monopoly managed by the government, or it's a hybrid, so it's managed by government, outsourced to other providers. So why do we think it's important? Basically, we're delivering on our primary promise to claimants and the insured in the scheme. It's actually the only product that the claimants see. They see a policy from a workers' comp, from an employer perspective, or they see a policy from a CTP green slip or from CTP policy. They never actually see anything else unless they are a claimant. It's the reason we all exist, really. The other thing to remember is all claimants in third-party schemes are potential customers, premium payers. I've had this conversation with many customers saying you, in the third-party schemes, you're actually insuring your family who's in the car with you in the case of an at-fault accident. So from our perspective, what is claims management? It's all activities undertaken to resolve a claim and to deliver on the promise made to the insured or the claimant. It's the key contributor to ensuring the scheme is viable. So why is it challenging? Which it always is. Probably the key thing here is if people are involved. So you've got claimants, they're people, and you've got your staff, who are also people. So having the right mix of skills and people managing claims and delivering to our claimants is one of the biggest challenges. We also need to balance the scheme objectives and the claimant's objectives, and they're not always aligned. You have to try and get the right outcome for the scheme and for the claimants. Claims management in the personal injury space can be really emotional. It's not a car, it's not an inanimate object, it's you, or if you've got children, it's your children that you're dealing with. There are also in the scheme business at the moment, there's constantly changing landscapes. You've got reforms, you've got governments changing, you've got changing economic conditions, you've got the different interests of your stakeholders that you have to balance. It's very challenging. So there have been some claims leakage studies conducted across the industry, and it's demonstrated that there are opportunities for improvement in the scheme management of claims and schemes. These have the same themes. So whether it's in government agency or in private insurer, we've seen the same themes. So we've grouped them from our perspective into sort of five key themes. The most important that we see in areas of opportunity in claims management is around people. So having the right people in place is critical, and ensuring that your people are appropriately trained is one of the key things. They need to have an ability to have critical analysis, evaluate a claim and deal with the claimant. So that's really critical. We also group them into the process, efficiency of processes, supplier management, so all the variety of suppliers that we have in our scheme businesses, the governance and organisation, ensuring that the roles and responsibilities are very clear to everyone and what role they play in delivering to the claimant. Technology is actually quite important, and it's probably becoming more important. However, it is an enabler. You can still have good claims management done on a paper file, but it does make it more efficient and it makes it more auditable and probably easier for those people interacting. But it is definitely an enabler. So things that we've seen as being fundamental to the success of the claims management, we will go through each one of these in a bit more detail, so just quickly go over these. It's a clearly defined claim strategy that supports the promise to claimants. People, having appropriately trained people. The system culture that supports the desired outcomes for the claimants. Data and monitoring, so I'm probably talking to the right people here. So data and monitoring is really critical to ensuring that you understand what's going on in your business and you can see lead indicators and you can monitor the outcomes right for your claimants. Management of service providers is very important as a fundamental. Ensuring that you've got continuous improvement and innovation in your management. Having accountability for results. This accountability goes from your staff, your admin staff, right to the board level. And it's generally enabled by technology. So we'll just go through some of these items, just talking in a little bit more detail what we see. So a clearly defined claim strategy that's transparent and aligned to the overall objectives of the scheme is really important. It needs to be able to be translated to your people managing claims so they feel that they're accountable for the outcomes, for the financial outcomes of the firm, and also for the outcomes for the claimant. This accountability needs to go throughout the whole organisation. It needs to be a living document. It can't just be a document that we say we set our claim strategy and we leave it. And no, it's not communicated, it's not updated. It needs to be a living document that everyone buys into. The second fundamental is people. It's the key issue that we see. It's a people business, so we're dealing with people. So having the right people in place to deal with people is critical. They need to be appropriately qualified and accountable for their claims outcomes. So in the general insurance market at the moment, it is sometimes challenging to get the right staff who are appropriately qualified. So ensuring that you have that mix of skills within your claims business will help you get the right outcomes for you and the claimants. Having critical analysis and reasoning in the claims teams is critical. Understanding what the next steps are and ensuring that it aligns to the strategy that you as managers or participants in the scheme outline is very important. It needs to be supported by effective and proactive leadership. So it comes from the top and the bottom. Recruiting and training is key. So the investment in your people is very important. It should be seen as an investment, not an expense. There's a variety of different training that's going on in the industry at the moment, ensuring that claims handlers or claims managers have got the right skills, tools and access to training so that they can deliver on the promise to claimants. I'm going to hand over to Peter now.
Thank you, Natasha. Before Peter gives his presentation, just a quick bio on Peter McCarthy. I'm sure most know Peter, but Peter is a partner with the financial services group in EY and has 28 years' experience in personal injury schemes. He's spent 9 years working in large general insurers, which include management of large personal insurance portfolios. He's advised widely a variety of clients, including government insurers, self-insurers, reinsurers, and corporate and personal insurance matters. So, Peter, over to you for your part of the presentation.
Thanks, Jerome and Natasha. I'll just finish. Natasha's left me with plenty of time, so I can talk a bit more. System culture. I actually think this is actually a really important part which doesn't get enough attention around how it can impact claims management. It is driven by all the players, principally the scheme regulator or manager and insurers or claims agents. But what I find really important is that I actually think the regulator can have the most impact on the scheme culture, depending on the approach they take to how they undertake their role. If they're very passive, then I think that it'll drive poorer outcomes than if they're more proactive. So if they're really passive, then I'll come onto this later, your providers, of which there are many thousands in these schemes, will actually try and exploit any holes in the management and regulation of the scheme. So the culture can have a very big impact. Some schemes I liken to the culture is because of the way the regulator and the insurer/agents operate, is that it's like everyone is a winner. It's not just claimants, but the culture is that all the providers are winners too. The other thing is that service providers have a big impact on the culture of the scheme. They're largely, not always, driven by the profit motive. And the profit motive actually has a big impact on their behaviour. And it's actually difficult sometimes to get the right balance. And I've seen this in many schemes, particularly 4 years ago when we had a good look at the medical providers in a scheme. What I saw was the behaviour of some of the medical providers in allied health was actually really poor. It was clear overbilling and over-servicing. But they were allowed to get away with it. And I guess too often their profit motive comes before the claimant's needs. I've heard a few examples here in the course of the last 2 days of examples where the profit motive of the provider is the key thing. They just let the person, the claimant, go on and on and on without trying to actually get the person back to work or improve their outcomes. How's this work? Sorry? So data and monitoring. In claims management, the analytical people, which don't necessarily have to be actuaries, there are lots of good analytical people who aren't actuaries, the relationship between the analytical actuarial people and the claims people is actually a really important relationship. I'm very much, having been on both sides, both an actuary and also managing a large claims department, if you actually get the two parties to work together, it really is a case of 1 + 1 = 3. And I find that relationship so key in actually getting better outcomes in the claims management. They both feed off each other, they both support each other. So the analytical role is really important for monitoring what's happening in the claims experience, providing feedback to the claims people and getting that interaction. And there's lots of different analysis that you can do to help the claims process. So data monitoring. I look at it like a control cycle. You've got your data that you capture. You need to ensure you've got the right data. Quality won't be perfect, don't expect it to be, but it's important to get the right level of detail. And you need to set the right KPIs for the scheme, and the actuaries can actually help you actually give feedback on how you're going against those KPIs. Monitoring performance is more than just monitoring. It's a whole lot of analysis that you need to undertake. And I'll talk a bit about that shortly. They're very useful for testing claim strategies and helping to fine-tune them. I mean, testing our new strategies is actually important. And you don't always get it right, but you need that feedback loop very quickly to know whether you're succeeding or what the deficiencies are so you can fine-tune it. And so it just keeps going around, setting claim strategies, understanding what's going on in your business, monitoring it. It's also more than just the actuary. It's actually going and actually looking at claims files and actually looking at the quality of the claims management, understanding what in practice is happening from the file. The analysis of data can only give you so much information. You need to go that extra step. Analytics, as I said, can actually add a huge amount of value to the claims management. One of the things we've actually done a bit of work on, which I think the schemes and insurers actually need to look at closely, you need to actually understand the linkages between all the service providers. It can identify over-servicing, over-billing. You have these groups of providers that actually work together to exploit the system. And is there anything wrong with that? No. They're entitled to earn a profit, but you need to understand how they work together. And we've actually seen good examples of relationships between particular providers where it looks a bit sus actually what's going on here at the surface, but you need to go and understand really the detail. These relationships can be complex. They can be between legal providers, you know, some certain doctors, etc. And these linkages can actually lead you on to actually understanding whether there's fraud. And there's fraud. Management of service providers. There are literally thousands and thousands of providers in these schemes. It is a major challenge for schemes and insurers on how to actually control them. As I said before, a lot of them are driven by the profit motive. You need to understand how they operate, monitor their performance. You need to engage with them, meet with them and make sure that they actually understand and get the message what this scheme is all about. It's not about just protecting their profits. And too often, and I hear people talking about schemes where it's the profit motive of all the service providers and which actually drives legislation, politics, rather than the needs of the claimants. And it's actually also important to actually make sure that you get the engagement from the providers. That can actually be quite difficult. Where there's thousands, it's almost impossible to get engagement from all. But where there's, if you have a hybrid scheme where you have claims agents, it's really important to get their engagement. If you don't get their engagement, you're actually not going to get the best outcomes. In our view, management of service providers, and I do include everyone else except claimants and the premium payers as service providers in these schemes, it's important to take a holistic approach. You can't, in where you have claims agents, it's not just about how much you pay them, or what, it's more than that. With doctors, it's not about how much you pay them. You need to adopt a holistic approach. So their activity, you need to align, needs to be aligned with the scheme objectives. Their performance needs to be aligned to the approach that the scheme takes to the scheme management, the strategy. You need to align the KPIs of them to your scheme KPIs. You need an appropriate supporting infrastructure. And what I mean by that is that you need appropriate IT systems, you need the appropriate analysis, actuarial analytical support, claims audits, etc. And you need, and I'm talking about the regulator or the scheme manager here, you actually need inside those organisations appropriate specialists or expert claims people, and including medicos and doctors to actually understand how to deal with the providers. And lastly, as I've said, you need engagement from the providers, but that can be hard to achieve. So a lot of this is all around behaviours, and you've got to provide the right incentives to get optimal provider behaviour. It's a very difficult task. I think a lot of schemes struggle enormously with it. I might skip this slide. I think I've spoken a bit about that. Continuous improvement and innovation. I think this is actually quite important. I mean, these schemes are not static. They're always evolving, changing. There's so many thousands of claimants, thousands of providers. There's no way they're ever going to be static. You need to actually change and have a look at what's happening and change your approach as this scheme evolves, as the service providers change. And I continually see in my work different approaches from lawyers or medicos, and they can actually be very innovative, and you're not going to be able to deal with them unless you're innovative in your approach and continually seeking improvements. It's actually this is partly a cultural issue. I see examples around the schemes where some schemes have this culture of always wanting to continually improve and change because they realise that the schemes evolve. So if claims management is outsourced as well, you actually need to review their performance. I think one of the problems you have is this alignment between the provider's profit motive versus what you want to achieve. They're not always aligned. And unless you actually go and actually have a hard look, detailed look at the quality of the claims management they're undertaking, you won't actually, and take them to task around it, you won't get the outcomes you want. Accountability. This is really key. This is a bit of a hot topic for me. I find that not so much in insurers. I think there is the profit motive actually does drive a certain amount of accountability. But in some of the schemes, in my experience, I've seen that there's actually a lack of accountability. The schemes sometimes don't accept their accountability. It's connected to another paper we're doing later today. around regulation. I think some of the schemes think they just have this approach of being a regulator, but I actually look at them as being a lot more than that, irrespective of the model. And they do need to actually accept accountability, and that goes right from the board right down to the staff. And if you're continually blaming everyone else for the performance, then the accountability is not there, and it's such a key thing. Technology, as Natasha said, it's an enabler. Look, I think good technology is great, and can actually help you get efficiencies, but it's not good technology won't get you good claims management. All the other things will. But it does help you. So lastly, examples we've found in our claims leakage studies and talking to schemes, insurers, there's actually a huge range, a spectrum of how claims are managed. And here's a few examples. Sometimes I think some schemes fail to recognise that they are actually the insurer and that the bug actually stops with them. Yes, they may actually outsource their claims management, but you know they need to set the ground rules. It's their business. And that too often the claims management strategy is left to the provider. I actually think the claims agent can add a lot of value and around strategy, but ultimately it's the scheme that actually needs to set that. Where it's probably the underwritten scheme, it's actually quite different. I think in my experience, the scheme where they do outsource or the claims management, if they actually set a clear strategy and are actually proactive around it, it will produce better outcomes. Staffing, I actually think the key, this is a people business, there's no doubt about it. And so you've got to actually invest in your people. You've got to train them, etc. And too often I see that these, as Natasha said, that the claims function is a poor cousin. They don't get the training. Whereas if you do it really well, you do invest a lot in your people and you actually train them, you challenge them, you give them the right KPIs. I think around the schemes, not all schemes, but one thing that I've found is that there's an assumption that all the providers will actually do the right thing by the scheme. I think that's a false assumption. You know, some try and do well, but I think a lot of them don't. They have their own interests of profit motivation. And some of them have a very politically powerful lobby groups. And so you can take a passive approach, but be warned, they won't necessarily do the right thing by the scheme. They will by themselves. Or you can take a proactive approach and actually challenge them, you know, monitor their performance, look at the outliers and do something about it to get them back under control. So, lastly, I would end on, these schemes would not exist except for claims. Claims is the product and the service. And without having claims, none of us would be in this room. Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. We have time for some questions, so if you have a question, can you use the mic in the room and identify yourself?
Adelaide Spearing from Queensland. You talked about the importance of claimant outcomes. I just wondered what your comments are about when claimant outcomes should be measured.
Sorry?
When claimant outcomes should be measured, talking about health and quality of life, vocational outcomes.
When they should be... I think it's an ongoing measurement. It's not just a point in, one point in time and then another year. It should always be monitored continually. Which model are you talking about? My view is that I'm very much an advocate, having been looking after claims, that you actually need continual monitoring. Continual measurement. You need to set appropriate KPIs and it's an ongoing process. Measure customer satisfaction or whatever, it needs to be ongoing. It's not once off, it's not you know, yearly. It just needs to be ongoing. And the results of that monitoring will give you information which will actually help you to develop your strategies over time.
I don't really have anything to add to that, but so at a point in time, the claimants really know if they've got what they needed. So if they've gone back to where they were prior to the claim, I mean, that's our ultimate goal, is to get them back to where they were. That isn't always achievable, but that's what we're aiming to do, and we need to ensure that we measure that along the way and identify strategies to enable returning to the life that they had before. So it is ongoing.
So I just want to add one comment. I may have come across in a certain way around where claims management is outsourced in a hybrid model. I actually think, I don't want to give the wrong impression, I think it's actually very important for the agent, claims agent, and the scheme to actually work together. They both have a lot to add to it, but ultimately when the claims are outsourced, it's the insurer that's basically accountable for the results.
Natasha and Peter, thank you very much for your presentation. My name's Peter, I'm from Comcare. The idea of KPIs, it's bandied around frequently, and we all talk about KPIs. Within the claims management sphere, have you got some kind of suggestions or key ideas about what those KPIs should be in order to help drive successful outcomes? Provide it, identify better training opportunities, you know, all that stuff. Let's use the KPIs for what they're meant to be used for.
Okay. Look, I suppose the KPIs for each scheme will vary. It will depend very much on the sort of scheme it is. If you have a common law scheme, the KPIs will be different than if you have a sort of statutory benefit workers' comp scheme. So you do need to tailor them. The other comment I'll make about KPIs is that they do evolve over time. You'll probably have a core set, but they will change over time as the scheme evolves. While you can get a lot of information off your IT system, I'm talking sort of as an actuary, you can develop a set of KPIs. You shouldn't have too many. You should actually focus on the really key ones, and have a that's at a board level, and then you have a sort of pyramid where the further you go down into claims management, the more you have, and they need to be linked. The other important thing is that you need to have KPIs that actually make sense to claims people. I find too often, sorry, I'm being critical of actuaries here, that actuaries, while have some really good ideas in theory, it makes sense, some of the KPIs, but sometimes they actually don't have much meaning to a claims person. And that, and getting that interaction and getting the KPIs right is sometimes more of an art. Lastly, I think you actually need KPIs which are outside the data you have on your claim system. You need to be able to do claims reviews, and I'm not talking about audits and process reviews, I'm talking about looking at the actual quality of the claims management. And you need to set KPIs which reflect the quality of the claims management. Now, unfortunately, in a business like personal injury claims, setting KPIs which look at the quality of claims management can be actually somewhat subjective. You can't get away from that. It's a problem, but you need to accept that that's actually going to be an issue. Does that provide a bit of information for you?
Ben Saunders from WorkCover Queensland. You talked about linkages between providers, and you talked about the fact that some may be fraud and some may not. You have these linkages where that they're just using the system to their advantage. So when you may find a linkage like that, what would you suggest that how you manage that?
Okay. We did some work for WorkCover New South Wales about 4 years ago. And I can talk about this because it was made public. There was a particular medical specialist, and that little ball chart circle we put up actually came from that. And what we found, it was a very... This specialist was actually what I call very specialised. And what we actually found there was, I think, 28% of the referrals for this specialist came from one GP. And I looked at that and went, that is very sus. So you can't tell what's going on just from the data. You actually need to go and investigate particular claims and the relationships there. That doctor may have had relationships with a particular legal provider, so we didn't go that far. But you actually need, in that case, I would have gone and had a look at some of the claims files to actually understand what's going on and actually undertaken more detailed analysis of the relationships. Some of these providers have various different identities, the same provider, but they have different identities. For example, doctors can actually practice in a few different areas, locations, and they each have a different identity, but the same doctor. So does that give you an idea? No, it's not. I agree. It's interesting. I think the mere fact that you actually do the analysis and go and investigate, the next step would be to actually go and have a conversation with some of these, because you actually put them on notice. And some of it's about influencing behaviour.
Thank you. We'll line up these questions because we've got 2 or 3 minutes left.
Thanks. Alex Colley from ISCA. My question is related to that last one, and a comment as well, if I may start. I guess I was a bit surprised by the commentary on the profit motive in providers, and I think that's just confirmed. But that, to me, seems like an example of the tail wagging the dog here. So, sure, a small proportion of providers might act in an inappropriate way, but I would argue that the vast majority actually do have the client's best interests at heart. And my view on it, and I guess I'm really interested in yours, is that case management and the interaction with providers is difficult for a whole number of reasons, not just because a small proportion of providers are seeking to exploit the system. There are policies and regulatory issues with the way the systems are run that make it difficult for providers to engage with the systems as well and case managers. So I wonder if we could have a broader conversation about the relationship between case managers and providers of all different types without focusing just on those probably small proportion that attempt to exploit the system.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I think you'll be surprised. I think we would be surprised how much the profit motive does drive some people.
Yeah, thank you. Last question.
John Duravin, Swiss Re. I'd just like to ask the authors how important they believe it is to have the earliest and most personal level of intervention by the case manager to set targets and condition expectations and explain the process to the claimant, the employer and the providers.
Yeah, thanks for that, John. To our point of view, it would be critical to have that early intervention, so building that relationship with the claimant, who is a person in the end of the day, so you need to build the trust. If you're able to speak to the claimant is one of the challenges. So engaging with them early and engaging the relevant providers that you think are appropriate is really, I think, critical to developing or having the final good outcome for the claimant. And Jerome's wrapping me up.
Well, there's just one really quick question. Quick.
Hi, Emily from CGU. You mentioned, Peter, that when actuaries and claims staff work together, it's 1 + 1 = 3. But often, sometimes there are circumstances where the actuaries are often doing valuation work or pricing work, and there are circumstances where our objectives are not quite aligned, and so there may be instances where the communication might break down because of the differences in objectives. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice on how to actually improve situations where that might happen.
Look, again, it's a people thing, isn't it, really? It's about developing those relationships. Look, sometimes in an insurer, the people doing the valuation work are actually in a separate area. And there's actually a lot to be said for that, for independence, which will actually, I think, help solve your problem. I find the people who are doing the valuation not necessarily the best people to be actually doing the analysis on a day-to-day level and working with the claims people.
Thank you. I'd just like to wrap it up with one concluding statement. Leakage is gold in your liability, and the trick is, as Natasha and Peter have tried to explain to us, is to how to mine that gold, because it's free. It's sitting there waiting to be mined if you've got serious leakage issues. Having said that, I'd like to thank Natasha and Peter for a good presentation there. It was a terrific conversation at the end of it as well. And so that you can help provide some help to the organisers and the future conferences, can you please fill out a performance feedback? If you haven't done so yet, it's on an app, on your smartphone app. So the organisers would really like your comments and some feedback from today's session. So thank you very much, and we close it down now.